So if we, as Eve did, as Abraham did, as Sarah did, if we change what the Word of God says, what He's told us in our hearts, and I'm not talking about only the written Word of God, but what the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our hearts, because He's been poured out into our hearts. If we change that, modify it, misinterpret it, twist it, manipulate it, we are going to find ourselves in a very difficult position. So when we alter it in any way, that's when we find ourselves in a situation where we can't walk in trust. Because what we've done is we've taken what He's told us and then we've tried to dissect it. We're not just... God is one person. Three in one, the Trinity. That you can not only count on. He is so trustworthy. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's not just He won't lie because He's God and He has good character and He's righteous and just and holy. He cannot lie. If He cannot lie, He is the only one who is completely dependable. He is the only one we can put our trust in, and it will be perfectly received and perfectly fulfilled. The problem is we often think God is like a man. It's not let God be true and every man a liar. It's let man be true and God a liar. That's often how we think it. We don't mean to. It's not about, again, it's not about some horrific judgment, but it's about the honesty that He's requiring of us. How can you believe what you don't believe? Stop pretending with me. I know what you believe. And I know what you don't believe. Holy Spirit says, you cannot fool me. I am truth. Don't play games. Be real. Be honest. And then I can fulfill what you are so desperately desiring. Instead of you trying to scrape up just barely enough faith to get you through another day. And it isn't even faith at all. It's based on fear. Faith based on fear is not faith. Even when we are first saved, we have to believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We have to believe He's the Son of God. Not a good man, not a prophet, not somebody who, you know, is a historical figure. We have to believe He is the Son of God. And when we confess that, sometimes there's a lag time. It might be a moment, it might be a few days, but it's usually not very long when we actually believe. We step out in faith, out of the boat, to walk on water when we know it's impossible. We step out in faith, believing in our heart that He is the Son of God, even though we're not even sure what that means, and He takes us by the hand and leads us, or He beckons us to come. He actually asks, do you know, we want to have walk on water faith. Who wants to have the kind of faith that every time something goes wrong, we falter? Who wants to have Thomas faith, that I got to see the nail prints, I got to see the nail prints, I got to see the nail prints? Yes, we have times like that, and it is not a condemnation, but do we want to stay in that kind of faith? Do we want to stay at that level, or do we want to have mountain-moving faith? Do we want to have the kind of faith that says, Daddy, I believe You, and I know You are true, and I know You never lie, and I know You will fulfill Your promise? From there, we will have trust. From there, we will have peace. And the trust and the faith are so entwined, they're like different sides of the same coin. Without trust, you can't have faith. Without faith, you can't have trust. They work together in tandem like a bicycle. One pedal and the other. One pedal and the other. One pedal and the other. Getting you to where? Where you're going. Just like a bicycle. That's the God that we belong to. The one who cannot lie ever. It's more than you can bank on Him. It's more than you can gamble and you'll always win. He cannot. It's impossible for him to lie. So if he's told you something in your heart, and you know it's his promise, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Not because someone else told you to. Not because somebody on the pulpit said, you know, you better believe or you're a bad Christian. Fake it until you believe it. No, do never fake faith. What a horrid idea. People are told that, well, just keep saying it until you believe it. One day you'll believe it, because hearing, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and they just say it like that, and they just slap it on there. And there's no faith underneath it. Hearing, you have to receive what you hear. Or you can't even be saved. How many people hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and go, yeah, whatever. That doesn't make them saved by hearing it. Yeah, I heard that one day. Yeah, I heard the gospel. Yeah, yeah, whatever. I'm busy now. I got to pay my bills. See ya. Don't bug me. You're not one of those God botherers, as I've been told before. And my response is, no, I don't bother God. He loves being with me. And they laugh uncomfortably, but still weren't saved. Because the word of God did not get planted in their hearts. And that's what he wants us to know. Faith is about your heart. If you believe him, if you have trust in your heart, you can have faith for anything. Anything. The most crazy things that might look crazy to the world. I'm not talking about let's stop gravity or something. I'm talking about the world would go, no, I'm sorry, that's impossible. You can't have that. That's, you know, in the natural, that's not at all a possibility. That's not scientific. We've never seen it happen before. And you're like I care. All things are possible for me. I'm with God. When we really believe it, not pretend believe it. Fake faith will go nowhere. Fake faith is fast food faith. Well, I didn't see it today. Well, it must not be going to happen. God didn't honor me. God is lying. That's what we think. And we need to be honest with him about it. I mean, as horrific as that is, we need to be honest with him about it and say, Lord, I thought you said whatever it was, you know, that this such and such thing was going to happen. And now I don't see it happening. But you can't lie. So what happened? We go to him with it. He might reveal it to you. He might give you some understanding, or he might say, you're just going to have to wait. I'm sorry, darling. This one ain't going to come in 30 seconds flat. So let's look at faith. Let's look at where faith was demonstrated so perfectly in the Old Testament. So we'll go to Genesis 15:5, and by 15:5, Abraham is already, and he's still called Abram at this point, is already not arguing with God, but is confused. How in the world is he going to have an heir? He's old. His wife is old. They're not able to bear children anymore. They haven't born any children. And he's questioning God. And God says this to him. He brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted to him for righteousness. That's when he believed, right then. First time God told him what he was going to have. You're going to have more descendants than you can even count the stars in heaven. Abram believed right then. Later on, did he believe? Did he falter? Yes, he did. Later on, he and Sarah come up with their, you know, crazy scheme to have the maid have the baby. She conceives, she has Ishmael, becomes disastrous from the beginning. And God returns. This is amazing. You know, God doesn't go, oh, well, they blew it. You didn't. You had faith at the beginning, but oh, I'm sorry. You lost it down there somewhere. No, I'm going to give this promise to somebody else. Listen what God does. In Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, in your generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I also give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now this is after the Hagar incident and Ishmael is born. In fact, he was born when Abram was 86 years old, and then God comes to him again when he's 99 years old. After a pretty blatant sin of mistrust. This is the mercy of God. I am not suggesting we should be doubtful. No. Doubt is a killer. It will destroy you. You will find yourself walking in the wrong direction because you doubted. But what I am saying is when we do doubt, or if we do doubt, we don't have to hide from God. We don't have to be like Adam and Eve in the garden, hoping he doesn't find us. We can go boldly to him and say, Daddy, I got it wrong. Daddy, I'm not trusting you. Holy Ghost, I have no faith. Help me. That's all we have to do. And then we have to ask him, Lord, have me walk in you. The Spirit of the living God, have me walk in you in this process, in this trial, so I will bear fruit and I will have faith. Then with Abraham in chapter 18, this is after they've made the covenant of circumcision. God has made that covenant with Abraham. Then the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh in your hearts, after you have may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, Do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, Here, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time. And he, the angel of the Lord, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him, as women do. Doesn't say that, but I know, I'm a woman. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also? She meant Lord, meaning Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That is what we have to remember. Many things are too hard for us. Most things are too hard for us. In fact, he says we can't do anything without him. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? All things are possible with God. Who are we with? God. Is anything too hard for him? No. That's the faith he wants to give us. That's the faith he wants to develop. That's the faith that comes through Jesus Christ. As Peter and John said to the crowd, faith in him and in his name. And through that faith that comes through him, Jesus Christ, this man has been healed. It is faith in a person that we're talking about. We have faith for things. We have faith for situations. And it's fine to pray in specifics about situations we see in our lives or in the lives of others that we're praying for. But who is the faith based on? Where does that trust come from? The trust is in him, in that he's faithful and that nothing is too hard for him, that he can take a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman and make descendants of many nations, so multiplied you cannot count them in the sky. That's impossible, but not for him. And just that last part of that scripture, because I find the fact that God wanted this written down and that it was important to him, because everything that he's placed in there, in the scriptures, is for us, is a gift to us. Whether it's a chastening, whether it's an encouragement, whether it's a promise. Listen to this. What does Sarah do? So the Lord hears that she laughs. In her heart, she's laughed in her heart. She didn't even laugh out loud. So, I mean, hello, he's God. He knows what's happening inside us. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He doesn't say exactly when. The appointed time, that's up to him. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he, the Lord, said, no, but you did laugh. And he wasn't condemning her. Oh, you terrible woman, you laughed. Now I'm going to take the promise away. No, he said, Sarah, you laughed. You didn't believe it. It's okay, I'm going to give it to you. Not that we're going to go, oh, I don't have to believe and God's going to give it to me. No, he knew. She was just incredulous. You're kidding. Lord, you're kidding. You know, when he gives you something that's so amazing, you sometimes laugh when he tells you because you're thinking, what? Is this for real, or am I dizzy or in hallucination land? That's how real he is. God has a sense of humor. He's not some kind of straight-laced suit and tie man that we think he is, or this old man, you know, with his scepter or his staff, and he's going to bang us over the head. He goes, Sarah, you laughed. He knows when we laugh. He knows when we're afraid. He knows when we don't believe. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. Do we know? Most of the time, we're pretending to ourselves that we believe what we don't believe. And he goes, why believe what you don't believe? Or how can you believe what you don't believe? Why are you pretending to me? I know you don't believe it. Do you think it's going to come out of disbelief? Do you think that's how it's going to be made into fruition for you? Do you think that's the fulfillment of the promise through unbelief? No, but you can have faith. He doesn't go, oh, well, you didn't believe, so forget it. No, he says, you can have faith. And when he puts us through trials, and I am not talking about horrible situations that Satan has slapped us with. I am not talking about that. But we will have situations in our lives that are trials. He said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So in him, we overcome those troubles. But we will have them. The amazing part is when we're in those trials, he says, count it all joy. Because, why? Because the testing of your faith will produce patience. And let patience have its perfect work, so you are lacking nothing. Do you know what you can endure? And I'm not saying we all want to endure the worst of the worst, but do you know what you can endure? Anything, if you have the perfect work of patience. You are complete in it, he says. Patience is one of the greatest gifts, and we reject it daily. We want our fast food faith. We want instant results. We want our orders filled. Come on, Lord. I put my order in. Where's the delivery box? Better be here now. I'm not waiting forever, you know. And when you look at Abraham and Sarah at the time in their lives when it was least likely for them to conceive a child. That's when God gives it. 25 years from the time that he first promised Abraham to the conception of Isaac, which means laughter. It's a long span, and I am not suggesting we all have to wait 25 years for every promise of God at all. But what I am saying is if we count it all joy when we're going through the trial, and I know, you know, sometimes in the trial there is no joy. And I mean, you can con yourself and you say, oh, I should, and this and that, berate yourself, be hard on you. It's not going to work. Sometimes you have to actually have it out with God. Sometimes you just have to vent your spleen and say everything you really feel. The worst of the worst. Because you trust him enough to be yourself. Do you know from that place he will pick up your broken, withered little body that is so tired of trying to believe, and he will help you have a faith that's real. Not fake, not plastic, but truly based on trust in him. And we can trust in him. Why? Yes, because he sent his son to die for us, to bleed for us, to redeem us. And why did he send his son? Because he loved us. So what we have trust in is love. And this is one of the most amazing scriptures, I think, because we can find ourselves in those troubles and in those trials and in that pain. And he says, and it's in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 23:5. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, who wanted to curse Israel, right? And was getting paid for it. You know, not a nice character. But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you.